Welcome back to the podcast. In this episode, we sat down with University President Michael Crow.
For another, shall we say, Crowversation?
And we also compare how previous ASU basketball players who have transferred out of ASU are performing at their new schools. I'm Abby Bessinger.
I'm Tyler Abrams.
And this is State Press Play.
Also this week, State Press reporter Nate Jera explores the diverse opinions of how OpenAI is changing the field of art.
Artificial intelligence is one of the fastest developing and discussed technologies of the past few years. At the forefront of this development is the research organization OpenAI with the revolutionary text model ChatGPT, but the training of artificial intelligence raises ethical concerns. I'm here with State Press reporter Kasturi Tale to discuss the reactions ASU faculty and students of the arts have to ASU's recent partnership with OpenAI. Kasturi, thank you for sitting down with me here today.
Thank you for having me.
So can you explain ASU's announcement? What does this partnership with OpenAI mean?
Basically, from what I understand, OpenAI has partnered up with ASU to give them access to ChatGPT Enterprise, which is essentially ChatGPT for businesses. It is not accessible to all students and faculty yet, but researchers and some faculty can gain access to it after their proposal is approved. Access to ChatGPT Enterprise is limited right now, but there is a vast scope for researching and learning new things.
For people that aren't aware of the topic, can you explain some of the controversy surrounding AI, how it's trained, what it means?
From what I learned from Professor Sean Lawson during my research, is a lot about how data used in machine learning is tagged with text information. This information is tagged by someone who is often doing free and unpaid labor that happens in foreign countries. Based on the biases of this person who tagged the information, it becomes biased. I also got to read about Joy Lowamini of the Algorithmics Justice League, who realized that the face tracking and image tracking had been done by Caucasian and Asian men mostly, and she, being a black woman, was not findable by the face tracking system till she put on a white mask. I think that was a really, that was like one of the most interesting things I learned about when I was doing research for the story. There's also a lot to be said about how our usage of CAPTCHA also trains AI to get better at it, and how it's slowly getting better at copying styles of art and other things. It's a little scary to think about, but it's also a new thing that we get to explore.
I guess on the art front, you kind of elaborated on it, but what are some of the reactions from some of these people that you were able to interview? How do they feel about this announcement?
I would describe the reactions as cautious optimism. I think everyone is excited to welcome this new collaboration, but there's a little skepticism, and I think it's reasonable because everyone definitely hopes that this collaboration will ensure that ASU continues to keep its number one in innovation badge, but there's still a lot to explore and there's a lot that we don't know with AI.
That makes a lot of sense. And I guess, Kasturi, as the future of AI continues to evolve on our campuses, how can a listener keep themselves informed?
I know that ASU has a webpage for artificial intelligence. If you just look that up, you can also learn a lot by just playing around with AI yourself and just reading the news, keeping yourself updated. You can also check out my story at statepress.com.
Thank you so much for coming on the podcast, Kasturi.
It was great to be here. Thank you so much.
And that was State Press reporter Kasturi Tale. And again, you can check out her full story at statepress.com.
This basketball season for ASU was marked by highs and lows for fans of the program. The most recent blood of the program came in the form of starting guard Jose Perez leaving ASU just days before the Pac-12 tournament. However, his departure calls attention to a trend of star ASU basketball players leaving the program for opportunities on other teams. Henry Smarto has more on the reasons these players have transferred and the impact this leaves on the ASU basketball program. Thanks for coming on the podcast, Henry.
Thanks for having me.
All right, Henry. So nearly every season, students are hearing about another student transferring out of Sun Devil Athletics. Can you give us a breakdown of the reasons why athletes have left and to which programs have they left to?
Well, like you mentioned, Jose Perez, just the most recent, that was kind of an unusual situation leaving before the Pac-12 tournament. Usually it comes during, you know, the off season and kind of around that, but Jose Perez had to leave, and it kind of came to a shock to everybody, and he's now playing international and just kind of wanted to I think, try to get a jump on his pro career, just do what was best for him. And from what it sounds like, his team respects that, and Bobby Hurley, head coach, respects that. In other senses, just the transfers, there's been guys like DJ Horn for NC State. You know, NC State won their conference tournament. They beat Duke, Virginia, North Carolina, and then they taking on Texas Tech in the first round. And, you know, DJ Horn's been a big part of that, a leader on that team. Jalen House was a guy that we had a couple years back who, you know, he was good for ASU, and now he decided to transfer, and he's been at the University of New Mexico for a couple years now. And he led the University of New Mexico to the Mountain West title, and now they have their spot in the tournament, and he's been a big success. And those two guards that we had, those guys could have been something big, but they decided to move on. And we had two guys that went over to Texas Tech, Devin Cambridge and Warren Washington. And we brought on a guy this year, Sean Phillips. And I think, if I remember correctly, Hurley talked about Warren Washington maybe, you know, starting this season and having Sean Phillips develop as a second unit center behind him. But that didn't work out how he was hoping. And now Warren Washington is on a tournament team that took his team to the semifinals of their conference tournament, and they're in the tournament now. They're actually playing NC State in the first round, and so it'll be kind of a battle of former ASU players. But yeah, him and Devin Cambridge both on Texas Tech now. So yeah, we've had some guys that we've had to lose that, you know, are making impacts in other places. So yeah,
why is this happening? I'm sure the transfer portal has played a large part in how easy it is for players to move across conferences and across teams. However, ASU is still a Division I program, and in theory should be developing a lot more talent than having more talent transfer out, right? So what is hindering ASU from retaining this top-tier talent?
I think that guys want to go to a program that has found success in the recent years with players who are still on the team, or, you know, the head coach. And ASU has found some success. They made the first round of the tournament last year, but they haven't made any great deep runs as of recent. And, you know, this year with a losing season and kind of going out how they did, I don't think that is something that maybe players who can immediately make an impact or know they can immediately make an impact want to come into. You know, they want to come into a successful program. And so I think there is guys that want to transfer to ASU because they think that it could be their place to maybe get a little bit more minutes and kind of make their star debut. But I think that just the fact that the program has struggled a little bit in the past few years, and guys that can make an immediate impact, guys that are all conference level players, they want to come into somewhere where they know they can be successful. And usually that maybe is a team that already is successful.
What are some other ways that the ASU basketball program can help to keep these athletes like in the school, like within the program, and have them develop, you know, hopefully for all 4 years of their career here?
It's just really a athlete to athlete thing, and how, you know, your relationship with your coach develops in your time here. I think it's with the transfer portal being, you know, so accessible and so easy now, it is hard to retain guys. Like, you know, the team this year had almost an entire roster of new faces, and so keeping guys in the same spot is tough. And I think that if ASU can, you know, bring some guys together and have a successful season, they can retain a lot of the same guys. And if they can have a successful season as well, be a successful team, you know, have the guys like each other, have the guys blend well, I think that can do something to help ASU retain players. But if it's not a perfect situation for a guy, you know, maybe it is better for a guy to transfer. So it's just hard to retain guys these days. So yeah.
And now with the ASU basketball program's future now lying in the Big 12, how is Coach Hurley working to improve the program and take advantage of this new opportunity?
Them leaving the Pac-12, kind of struggling, you know, not the best leave for the Pac-12. I'm sure they want to come into the Big 12 and make an impact immediately. And they have a couple of recruits coming in that I'm sure they're excited about. I think they have some four stars. They have a guy from the Overtime Elite League. And so Hurley likes his team. And there's a couple guys that have already entered the transfer portal. But I think that just coming into the Big 12, meeting new competition with a new roster, everything's kind of new. You know, you got the new schedule, you got the new guys. Maybe he can just kind of look at it as a fresh start and just take advantage of it that way. Just go into it
with, you know, his game face on, just kind of a new thing for the team.
Well, now as ASU will be in the Big 12 next season, perhaps it'll give the basketball program a lot more to look forward to. Thank you for coming on the podcast once again, Henry.
Thank you for having me.
You're listening to State Press sports reporter Henry Smarto. You can check out Henry's story and more at statepress.com.
Hey Tyler, I love State Press Play, and I want to support the State Press, Arizona State University's student-run independent news publication.
That's great to hear, Abby. You can donate to College Media Madness.
What is College Media Madness?
I'm glad you asked. College Media Madness is a fundraising event for U.S. college student media publications to promote their own fundraising campaigns and compete with the other participating student publications for donations.
So I can support the State Press in their fundraising efforts?
That's right. You can donate to collegemediamadness.com to support our work.
Every year, the State Press has an opportunity to meet with ASU President Michael Crow. I'm with State Press Managing Editor Alyssa Horton and Assignment Editor Walker Smith, who attended this past meeting with Crow. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hi.
So, President Crow started off the conference with the status of a new athletic director in the athletic department. From my understanding, he aims to revamp ASU athletics as a whole. Walker, could you give us some insight on those new developments?
Yeah, so he's trying to change the athletic department to operate more like the schools around Arizona State. Like, he wants them to operate financially and just operationally the same way under that model. He described it as kind of the same way Stanford, Vanderbilt, and Northwestern all run their athletic programs. So once he said that once that's finished, then they'll bring in a new athletic director once it's all completed.
That's super interesting.
Yeah, so here's what he had to say live about it when we were there.
What we're doing is we're changing the structural, financial structure of athletics and the university so that when the new athletic director comes in, the old system won't exist anymore, and we're just about done with that. When we hire the new athletic director, the person will be handed the new model to operate, which is an emphasis on competitiveness, success of the student athletes, health and safety of the student athletes, hiring of the coaches, firing of the coaches, affinity to the school and building connection through athletics and delivering the athletic competitive venues at the highest level of performance possible. That's what we want the athletic director to do.
Crow also mentioned financial concerns with ASU moving to the Big 12 conference. Walker, what were some of those concerns on his radar?
The biggest concern on his radar is making sure that with this move to the Big 12, all of the sports at ASU are still funded well enough so they can operate. He talked about how only really two of the sports here at ASU actually make money, and that's men's basketball and football. And so with the move to the Big 12, those travel budgets are going to get a lot bigger. And a lot, he just talked about how they need to evaluate all the financial decisions to make sure everything keeps getting funded and these teams can stay up. And here's what Crow had to say about the Big 12 issues.
The Big 12 revenue is not completely determined because they're, you know, it depends on how the media contracts go in the future. But, you know, we're anticipating more revenue in the Big 12 than we had in the Pac-12. And our hope is to use that revenue, to pay for the athletic programs, just the same way that we use tuition revenue to pay for our academic programs.
As the meeting progressed, Crow discussed the Goldwater Institute lawsuit against ABOR, involving DEI training at ASU and a professor who has refused to participate in it. Crow said the university would object it. What does Crow mean by this?
Crow kept saying over and over again that this lawsuit is rooted in lies and that he wasn't going to stand for that. He said time and time again that ASU is a place of diversity and that everyone on campus should understand that. Mm-hmm. Here's specifically what Crow had to say about it.
We plan on objecting and fighting this lawsuit with everything that we have because it's not based on fact. So people can make stuff up all they want, and it's still not true, even though you've made it up. And so even the premise of the lawsuit is inaccurate. And so there's no violations of any laws that are going on. And so we don't know why faculty members choose to exercise, you know, their concern about something going on at the university by a lawsuit. That's quite unusual.
Crow's final statement concerned ASU's open partnership with AI. What did he have to say about that?
Crow said AI should be expected to pop up in so many ways around campus. One thing he did say is that students really shouldn't be worrying about their data privacy and that things like that weren't going to change on the university level. He did say, though, when he asks AI questions, he doesn't necessarily know what happens to that information, but he doesn't really care.
Interesting. I can't wait to see where AI will be next. Well, thank you, Alyssa and Walker.
I can't believe it's Crover.
Thank you for having us on.
Thank you.
You can check out the full conference recap at statepress.com. And that's all for this week's State Press Play. I'm Abby Bessinger.
And I'm Tyler Abrams. State Press Play is produced by our podcast desk editor, Gabriella Fernbaugh. Our original music is by Ellie Willard and Jake LaRue.
Special thanks to our managing team, Alexis Heichman and Morgan Cabasco.
Make sure you check out our new feature where we joined the ASU club Snow Devils on their adventure to Salt Lake City, Utah. You can check out all these stories and more on statepress.com. See you next week, Devils.